This episode of Americana Music Profiles is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the world's leading online therapy platform. The mission of BetterHelp is to make professional therapy accessible, affordable, and convenient, so anyone who struggles with life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere. BetterHelp offers access to licensed, trained, experienced, and accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and board-licensed professional counselors. An extensive study by the Berkeley Well-Being Institute found BetterHelp to be as effective as face-to-face therapy. And now for a limited time, when you access BetterHelp, you will receive a 10% discount off of your first month. To activate this 10% discount, use my link at betterhelp.com/Americana.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Andrew Michelin, also known as the All-Canadian Soundclash, celebrates his debut album, Better Late Than Never. Although Andrew has been in and out of the music scene for much of his life and recorded several album projects with other groups throughout his career, this is his first venture as a solo artist. Andrew joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his first professional studio album. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you. You are in Canada, correct?
Yeah, Ottawa, Canada.
Ottawa. Yeah, Ottawa's been in the news a little bit lately.
Sure has.
Are you near the action or are you out in the suburbs?
I'm out in the suburbs, but yeah, I was down there yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
Checking it out.
Yeah.
Driving around.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of us folks here in the States are watching what's going on up there with curiosity and anticipation. So
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's hard enough to stand up for something you believe in, but then you throw in the cold temperatures and the snows on top of it. Takes a lot of something to stand there for what, three
we
weeks
went over. Yeah, we were there right from the beginning because the town that we live in here is it's the last truck stop on the way to Ottawa.
Oh, okay.
So we went out there. We went out there when they came through. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Times are different, man.
Yeah.
So you have lived in Canada your whole life, I suppose.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Ottawa. I moved around different places. I was in Vancouver for a bit, Kingston, Ontario, places like that.
You got started in music in your younger days and took a break. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. So we were, I was in a band, a lead singer in a band called Bufflehead here in Ottawa. And we were making a name for ourselves. That was back when I was a teenager. And yeah, we kind of made like a huge scene here, and everyone wanted to play and stuff like that. We did everything ourselves. And then, and of course, the time comes, everyone goes away to college and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, so right.
Band broke up, and then I just went on hiatus for a long time, but still writing songs throughout the years. I did a little bit of everything. I went to animation school, film school, stuff like that, and then eventually became a graphic designer.
Okay. So
yeah.
Stayed in the art world, so to speak.
Yeah, but always playing in bands and stuff along the way.
Okay.
And writing songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't walk away entirely. You just kind of walked away
from the
expanded version of it.
Yeah, exactly. Before I decided to just do everything myself and go solo.
Yeah.
So as a songwriter.
When did you get back into it from a more serious perspective?
It was literally 2 years ago.
Okay.
Just before COVID.
So just recently, yeah.
It was in summertime. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only way it happened was because my producer, Dale Murray, put out a call to action on Facebook. He was just saying that he had some room in at his studio if anyone wanted to record. So like, I hadn't really thought about it before, and I was like, okay, I'll reach out to him, see if I can get in there. And we've been longtime friends too, so it was just everything just fell into place.
And he's got kind of a famous connection, right?
Yeah, his aunt is Anne Murray.
Yeah. Yeah.
The famous Canadian singer songwriter.
Yeah. Anybody over 35 probably knows who she is.
Yeah. It's funny because Daryl doesn't like talking about it too much.
Really?
But I always bring it up just to have him.
Yeah. That's funny. So you basically kind of on a whim then jumped into the studio with some of your original material?
Yeah. And Dale, my producer, he plays on the record as well.
Okay.
So he records and plays, and then basically I play guitar and sing. But he does a lot of the work for me.
So what did your songwriting look like along the way? I mean, you didn't have a band per se,
The songs would change from band to band that I was in. I would always bring out these songs and play them, and we would just, you know, use them. But the band would break up, and then form another band,
okay.
And then, you know, the songs would sound different again. And so I think now with this record, it's like, okay, they're finally set in stone. This is how they're going to be, and this is what they sound like.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So your songs kind of went through an evolutionary phase every couple of years, it sounds like.
For like 20 years, some of the songs.
Yeah, okay.
But it's almost a good thing because everything got fleshed out. And I kind of know what I wanted the songs to sound like and how they're supposed to be arranged. So it kind of worked out in my favor.
Do you have a process that you go through when you write a song? What inspires you? Like, is this, you mentioned earlier, kind of you're always writing songs. Is it some sort of routine, or does it just happen?
It just happens. I don't force myself at all. It's just, I'll just sit and I'll wait and wait and wait. And it's usually a chord that struck the sound of the chord that all of a sudden just triggers my mind, and then I have these melodies that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I could strum on that one chord and just come up with a melody and come up with a song.
Mm.
And then just add other chords later.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the melody for me and the sound.
Okay. I was fascinated by the story of your grandfather and how you kind of have a history a bit in their family with songwriting. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, and it's kind of like romantic at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some people wouldn't believe it, but it's true.
Well,
my grandfather's, I
like the TV shows depicting the characters that you're getting ready to tell us about your granddad. I could kind of visualize what that might have looked like because I've seen some of these things depicted on TV. So
yeah, so this was I guess he was probably 40s and 50s.
Okay.
But he was a fur trapper up in northern Canada, Labrador.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the last trappers that actually traded with the Hudson's Bay Company.
Oh wow.
To get supplies and stuff like that. They mm-hmm. would never get paid. But it was always just rations, right?
Wow.
But he wrote songs and he couldn't play an instrument. I think he played maybe some, you know, accordion maybe a little bit.
Hmm.
But he didn't have a guitar or anything like that. And the place that he was from, there was a lot of trappers. And they would go up into the mountains for months at a time if they had to. And so, what they would do is have a pass the time. They would have competitions writing songs, the trappers.
That's
so, and he couldn't, all he did was hum the song in his head and write the lyrics down. And that's how he'd get past his time through the night, out in a tent.
Wow.
And then they would all come back, say like a couple months later, they would all return to the village and they would share all their songs that they had written and see who had the best one.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
If I read right, one of the ones that he had written actually has a little bit of significance with the Canadian history, right?
Yeah, the Grand River. And it's been recorded by several artists.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you knew about that your whole life? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just took it for granted because everyone knew about it and everyone always talked about those days.
Sounds like there's a song in that story.
I actually have a bit of a song written about it.
Oh.
Hopefully I'll get it recorded.
Yeah. So you just actually, just recently then, after all of this music in your life, recorded your debut CD.
It's a 10-song record, and it took me 2 years, this record, to get it all completed. So what I was doing is Dale and I would record 2 songs, and then, say, 5 months later, do another few songs. And that's how it was going. Mainly because of funding. I didn't have enough money to do the whole record at once.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I finally got a lot of songs on the record are ones that I've had for like 20 years.
Hmm.
And I finally got them professionally recorded. And it'll just go down in history.
And the title, I guess, aptly named Better Late Than Never. I'm sure there's a significance there.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
It means exactly that.
Right.
Better late than never. And I got this recorded.
Do you play your granddad's song?
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll play it. I have it. It's actually on YouTube.
Okay.
On my channel. So if you just search, if anyone wants to search for it, it's called the Grand River Song.
Yeah.
And I think it's a Shirley MacLaine, or Shirley Montague is singing the song. She recorded a version of it.
Where did the, I'm guessing this is the name of your band, the All-Canadian Sound Clash.
Sound Clash.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah.
What is that?
I wish there was a deep meaning behind it, but it's really... What happened was, just before I decided to record this record, so maybe 3 years ago, a buddy of mine and we were like thinking of getting a cover band going, and we were just going to play Canadian songs, you know, at the bars, local bars. And I just came up with that name. I thought it would be really cool for it. But we never did it, so I just kept the name.
So when you play the songs on this record, is it a solo adventure? Do you have people that go out and play with you?
Well, I haven't played anywhere yet because of COVID. But when I do get the chance to play, I'm gonna have Dale backing me up for
okay.
sure.
Yeah.
So and you... I have a drummer, Jordy Comstock.
Okay. So here in the States. Depending on which state you're in, but you know, artists have been out for quite a while, and we're anticipating a relatively normal, if we can use that word, festival season. You know, most of the festivals are coming back online. So you guys actually haven't really been able to do much yet then.
Everything's still up in the air. Nobody knows what's going on, you know. One day everything's going back to normal, and the next day we're in the lockdown again. So
yeah,
it's, you know, it's depressing. You don't even want to look forward to the future.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to make any plans to play live yet because I don't know if you'll get the chance.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't understand. That's really the significance behind, you know, this trucker movement in Ottawa is the fact that you guys, as a country, but specifically as musicians, are in that state that you just described. It's, you just it's tough.
More power to the truckers.
You
need these mandates lifted it's just nonsense. And nobody can do anything. Nobody can work like musicians and artists.
Now, do you have a sense of who your fan base is? I mean, is it an option to travel into the States and bring your music this way for a little while until things change for you guys?
Yeah, I still think the border shut down. You're not allowed going across, I don't think. Unless you fly, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can fly. Right. Yeah.
I think there's more of an audience down in the States for me, personally, because you're limited up in Canada where you can, how much you can tour and stuff, because there's only so many cities to play.
Right,
compared to the States.
Sure, it is different, yeah. Big wide open spaces with not a lot of human activity. Do you have a sense of what your demographic is for your music? Are you able to connect with your fan base at all in any sort of way?
Well, I think so. It's been so hard to tell these days. Like, I can't really... And I only just started recording 2 years ago, so I hadn't got the chance to even really play. A festival thing. It was online.
Yeah.
And that was very strange.
Yeah.
You record yourself playing. And that was for like a Canadian Music Week.
Yeah.
Last summer.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's very strange.
So what's the release? Has this album out? Has it been released officially?
Yeah. Yeah. You can download it anywhere.
Okay.
Buy it from anywhere.
And singles, videos, do you have a process for getting it out?
Yeah, we got I got the videos. I must have, 4 videos now.
Okay.
That I've done, and all of them I've done myself.
Mm-hmm.
Recorded and edited.
That's cool.
Just another thing that I love doing.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, if there's a silver lining at all in the pandemic for artists, you have been forced into, or maybe forced is the wrong word, but
do it yourself.
Yeah, you really take a deeper dive into the DIY approach to your music, and technology has made it so that if you're willing to spend the time, which we all have had plenty of time to pursue it, you could figure this stuff out and actually make it happen on your own, and at least on the back end the front end save a lot of money.
Exactly, I know, and it's also just a creative outlet to have. So you don't get too restless.
Yeah. So what's next? Is this a one off, or are you still continuing to write and hope to record again?
Yeah, actually, I'm back in the studio now with Dale, which is kind of strange because I'm here in Ottawa, in Ontario, and he's in Nova Scotia. So we're doing a lot of sending files back and forth. So I'll record my vocals and stuff here at my house in my little studio, and then he does everything else in Nova Scotia. And seems to be working.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So if folks want to keep up with what you're doing, they want to download your album, check out your videos, what's the best way to reach out to you and communicate?
I think if you just Google the All Canadian Sound Clash, everything will come up. You can go to my website and actually buy the album there instead of Spotify or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can basically find me everywhere. You can find the album all over all the platforms that you can download. You can just follow me on Instagram. I use Instagram a lot.
Okay.
And that's where,
And the album.
You want to email me?
And email is accessible from those locations?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the album itself is titled Better Late Than Never. And it is available now for purchase or download. Andrew Michelin, and it's the All-Canadian Sound Clash. Well, thanks, Andrew. This has been fun. I appreciate the stories, and certainly, man, I wish you guys the best of luck soon for getting your national situation resolved and you guys get back out on the road.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's about time that something happened.
Yeah.
It's really depressing.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the music, and we appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.